Grain markets under pressure again on Wednesday. You're listening to the American Ag Network. I'm Jesse Allen with this market update. Arlen Suderman, chief commodities economist at StoneX, joins us for the market wrap-up on this Wednesday. And Arlen, start with the grades and oilseeds. And we talked about this a bit in the midday commentary. Just a tough market, not a lot of friendly, bullish, fresh news for the grains and oilseeds. And soybeans led the action lower here today. Just kind of a tough market right now ahead of next week's USDA reports.
Yeah, we had some interest in the funds in owning the grain and oilseeds prior to this week, frankly, on inflation concerns and at least being nervous about holding short positions. But once we got a peace agreement or a ceasefire agreement, I should say, in the Middle East, those inflation expectations went out the window with a collapse in the crude oil market and with that selling grains. And while we were able to get a bounce in the crude oil market, the grain and oil seeds did chart damage and are continuing to push lower. And a lot of that is because we have now shifted the focus of these markets. The winter wheat harvest is picking up steam now that we've dried out much of the winter wheat belt that had previously been excessively wet. And the yields are coming in very, very good. So good production there. World wheat prices set by Russia in the Black Sea region are low. And so we're having to try to find a price that will uncover some demand to get rid of those extra bushels. Brazil's corn production estimates for their Safrinha corn crop are growing dramatically, and that's going to eat into next year's corn exports. And the weather prospects for the current crop in the ground for both corn and soybeans is improving, suggesting that we could grow supplies here in the United States. And so overall, the grain and oil seeds simply don't have a story right now to counter that bearish bent among fund managers.
And, you know, you're thinking about the weather here in the U.S., and I know you and I both talk with great minds like Eric Snodgrass over at Nutrient and more. And, you know, coming into this growing season, there was a lot of talk about Western Corn Belt drought, but that really hasn't materialized in these markets. I definitely feel these grain markets at this point are in a kind of a prove it to me mode, because everything up to this point has really been largely favorable, it feels like.
Yeah, absolutely. And Eric does some fantastic work. I think he's one of the best in the industry. But as you look at his work, he shows that of past history, when there is a short crop, 70% of that is a product of temperature and 30% of it is a product of rainfall. So as we look at the outlook going forward for July, those forecasts are becoming more moderate for the Midwest, pushing the heat further to the west of the high plains rather than in the Midwest corn and soybean growing regions, giving us more moderate temperatures. And when you do that, when you push that high pressure a little further to the west, you tend to get these thunderstorm clusters that move across the Midwest, providing periodic rain as well. Those tend to be good yielding years. So location of the high makes a huge difference. And in this case, the initial indications are it's going to be far enough west to flip it from a threatening type of a pattern toward a beneficial pattern.
Any thoughts heading into next week's USDA reports, grain stocks, acreage? I know the June reports are always relatively volatile, but this has been an abnormal year, I would say, in the market. So one has to wonder what those reports could potentially say, and if they do potentially bring some of that normal volatility to the grain markets.
Yeah, and I think that's well said. As we look at the trade expectations going into the report, and this is a report known for its big market moving swings, we see that corn and soybean acreage have a 3 million acre spread on what market expectations are. The average comes out pretty close to where USDA's March 31 numbers were, but the spread of expectations is pretty vast, meaning we're setting ourselves up for the potential for a volatile day if we vary from that average very far. And on the stocks estimates, the range and expectations are very wide there as well. And so, again, we're really setting ourselves up for the potential for some big surprises one way or the other. And if the stock surprises would happen to line up with the acreage surprises, you could get even bigger moves, or they could offset each other as well. So Monday could be a big day, oftentimes a pivotal day in the direction the market goes heading into July.
How about the crude oil complex? Obviously, to start this week, a huge pullback there with the easing of tensions in the Middle East. I've referred to it as a shaky ceasefire agreement between Israel and Iran. Crude oil bouncing a little bit here today. Is that bouncing off some support potentially? I mean, what's your thoughts with what we're seeing in the energy complex tied with everything in the Middle East, Arlen?
Yeah, I think for a little bit of perspective, WTI crude oil had been bouncing around in the sideways trading range for a couple of months, finding resistance around that $64, $65 area. And it was starting to break through that resistance when Israel attacked Iran. And we surged much higher up toward the $76, $78 range. So when we broke lower with the ceasefire earlier this week, we broke back down to that $64 level, but we have not fallen below it because we've simply resumed the level where we were before that agreement. I think it's key that we were moving above that resistance before the war started, indicating more of a focus on improving demand prospects overall as we're going forward. That gives us something to build on, and that seems to be where the crude oil market is now finding some footing.
Livestock trade to wrap up here today, kind of a mixed bag in futures. I know we're waiting on cash cattle activity for the week, and we also got a quarterly hogs and pigs report coming up tomorrow.
Yeah, that quarterly hogs and pigs report is expected to show a small shrinkage in the supply of marketable hogs as well as in the breeding herd. One of the keys is going to be pigs per litter, which continues to show impressive growth in recent reports. We did see a little bit of strength in the hog market today. Cattle market's been a different story overall. We saw some strength earlier in the day in the feeder cattle market as supplies remain tight with the border with Mexico closed, keeping feeder cattle from coming north out of Mexico. But we ended the day a little bit on the weak side with fat cattle futures working their way lower. Fat cattle market is still trading at quite a discount to the cash market, but the cash market is making its way lower at a pretty good clip right now. Next week, we're expected slower slaughter with the 4th of July holiday week in the middle of it, so to speak, and that's going to reduce the demand on the cash cattle, is the expectation, leading to that additional weakness in the cash market.
Well, I know, as always, we want to remember the risk of trading futures and options can be substantial. Arlen, if folks want to follow you, I know they can follow you on X. They can also reach out via StoneX.com, I'm sure, as well.
Absolutely, and my handle on X, formerly Twitter, is Arlen, A-R-L-A-N-F-F-101.
Arlen Suderman, Chief Commodities Economist at StoneX. Thanks for joining us on the Market Wrap-Up here on the American Ag Network. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Jesse.
Once again, Arlen Suderman from StoneX joining us here on the American Ag Network. I'm Jesse Allen reporting.